So if you are a small business, if you're living in one of the communities in which gangsters walk into these small businesses and demand that they hand over money every single week or else they'll be burnt out of their shops, they'll be intimidated. What is your view, I wonder, on the Alliance MLA's claim, Anna Lowe, that the police are turning a blind eye to this? She claims that the Chief Constable, Matt Baggett, is under so much political interference that the police are actually afraid to get involved. Let's all listen back to what she said.
We should prosecute them. Why should they be intimidating people on a daily basis? Businesses are already struggling and they have to pay £10, £15 a week to these paramilitaries who are supposedly protecting them. Protecting them for what? Absolutely not. They are squeezing our businesses, our small corner shops, out of business.
Well, do you think the police are turning a blind eye to that?
Absolutely. I think we should go tough on them.
When I said to you, do you think the police and this country is turning a blind eye to the collection of protection money, you said yes. Is that what you think?
Oh, yes, very much so. I don't think... I mean, when we know of illegal activities, we need to act.
Why do
we
you
cannot
think,
let it go on.
And why do you think the police are not doing so?
I don't know. Resources, maybe lack of intelligence. But we need to double our efforts.
But turning a blind eye would be...
Turning
a blind eye, Anna, would mean that they know what's going on. Like, you know what's going on and I know what's going on.
Yes.
If the police aren't doing anything about it, turning a blind eye is deliberate. Do you think they're afraid to rock the boat?
I think so. I think, you know, the way politicians have acted in the past have been siding with certain elements in our society. That is not a healthy society. We need all to stand behind the police to get to these illegal...
But why would the police be frightened of rocking the boat?
Yes. Right. I think there's so much pressure on our police, on our chief, on our chief constable. Certainly, we have too much political interference, as Matt Baggett has said in the past. They're not given the free hand to do what they should be doing. That is tackling crime.
Well, your party leader is David Ford, the Justice Minister. If the authorities are turning a blind eye to the collection of protection money, what's the Justice Minister doing about it?
The Justice Minister is doing his best. The Justice Minister is not actually responsible for the police. It's the policing board who is responsible for the police. Policies and issues like that. I think we all need to work together, all political parties, to stand behind the police and crack down on paramilitary activities. It's not just protection money, Stephen. It's drugs. It's all kinds of activities. Prostitution, human trafficking. Surely we cannot continue to turn a blind eye to that. We need all to work together, really, to tackle crimes from the paramilitaries.
Right. Well, that's what Anna Lowe thinks. We'll find out what you think this morning. 0845 955 678. The leader of the PUP, Billy Hutchison, was on Nolan TV last night. Here's what he had to say.
We all know about this racket, protection racket.
So
I know about police knew about prostitution being run by paramilitaries, human trafficking. It's the involvement of our paramilitaries.
Are paramilitaries alive and well in the sense that they're still intimidating businesses and collecting money?
Well, what I can tell you is I work with a lot of businesses and I haven't had that.
On the collection of protection money, would you advise a small business in any area...
Not to pay it to anybody.
...to stand up to them?
Yes, not to pay it.
And what do they do if they get burnt out the next day?
Well, what I will say here now is I'm quite willing to meet with any businessman who say that they're paying protection money to paramilitaries. And what I will do is I will go and meet them and then we'll go and resolve it one way or the other with the police. But I'm saying, Ivana's saying the police are turning a blind eye, and that's what she's saying. So therefore she's saying the police are in some sort of collusion with paramilitaries. They're on protection rackets and they're on... I don't believe that's happening, but Anna's saying that. And what I'm saying is Anna should call for an investigation into the police if that's what they're doing.
I'm saying we're not doing enough. I know myself that people told me, shops told me, that they pay protection money, OK, on a weekly basis. And that's something we need to deal with. Our corner shops are already suffering.
Are you telling me this is loyalist paramilitaries? So you're not telling me that...
Let her answer the question.
They told me.
Loyalist paramilitaries.
Paramilitaries.
And are you telling me that you're not aware of loyalist paramilitaries collecting protection money?
No, what I'm saying to you is that... I'm aware that there's gangsterism in this society. It comes from a whole lot of forms.
Loyalist paramilitaries.
And what I'm saying to you is that if anybody's aware of loyalist paramilitaries doing this, I'm quite happy to meet with them and quite happy to go to the police and get this resolved.
Fair enough.
Well, Glenn Roberts from the Northern Ireland Independent Retail Trade Association. What's the size of this, the scale of this, Glenn?
Well, I think it's very hard to put an exact figure on this because it's a very hard thing to survey because obviously individual business owners are at times not very forthcoming about the details.
Terrified of coming forward.
Absolutely, and I think we need to be very clear. In 2014, there are no place for paramilitaries of whatever kind, full stop. And I think that's whether those who tried to bomb Belfast during the city centre at Christmas or those who are involved in protection rackets and gangsterism, there is no place for that, for those type of organisations in Northern Ireland today. And, you know, and I think...
And are you prepared to confirm this morning that it's going on, it's affecting your members?
Well, there's absolutely no doubt that it is still taking place. It's a very hard thing to survey because businesses will not speak out about this. But there's no doubt it is still there. And I think what we need to do is work in partnership with the police. We still have, the Organised Crime Task Force that is working hard. We have problems in particular that a number of our members have faced significant robberies where gangs have been stealing cigarettes and selling them in the black market. So there are still problems that are there. And, you know, let's be very clear. Northern Ireland cannot afford to have mafia-type organisations in 2014. You know, we're a small business economy. It's unfair when those small businesses are targeted by whatever side. And I think we need to be very clear, no ifs, no buts. There is no place in Northern Ireland for paramilitaries of any kind. They belong to the past.
Yeah, have you heard much about the UVF in East Belfast?
Well, there's no doubt that I've heard anecdotally stories of whether it's the UVF corporately or whether it's the UVF individually, being involved in that type of activity, but you know it's again a very difficult, sensitive issue for businesses to deal with, and I think that.
But that's where the might of the state comes in. That's where the might of the police,
of course,
should come in.
And I think, and you know, the police have their work cut out in trying to deal with this. But it is also the communities. They have a big role in making it very clear to these paramilitary organisations, again of whatever kind, that this type of practice has no place in the modern.
Very difficult for a community to stand up to these people.
It is.
They will be burnt out, they'll be attacked, they'll be intimidated. You know it, and I know it.
Absolutely.
That's how it works.
The police need to work that bit harder to try and tackle this problem. And I'm being very, very clear here. Paramilitaries of whatever kind, again, I repeat what I said, it's whether those who bombed or tried to bomb the city centre at Christmas or those that are involved in gangsterism, there is no place for you in today's society. There is no place for violence of any kind. And let me just get back to, I mean, where this story originally came from is the Giro d'Italia. I mean, we have a fantastic opportunity to showcase Northern Ireland to 800,000 people around the world. And, you know, and I think it's important that we do tackle paramilitary murals because our high streets need to be inclusive places and we need to showcase the real Northern Ireland. The real Northern Ireland, there's so much to offer around the world.
Let's say I was thinking at home this morning. Then we'll speak to Dolores Kelly and Gerry Kelly this morning. Dolores Estill, PJ Kelly, Sinn Féin. David in Belfast. Morning, David.
Good morning, Stephen. I would agree 100% with Anna Lowe. I think she's speaking on behalf of the community of both sides. You know, these paramilitaries do intimidate businesses to pay up. And I think the police do turn a blind eye to numerous incidents in Northern Ireland, why it's a paramilitary activity, why it's hate crime or whatever it may be. I do think the police do turn a complete blind eye to it because they do not want to upset the apple cart.
You know, you've got to ask yourself, because the PSNI this morning have sent a statement through to the Nolan Show saying it's simply wrong to say the police are turning a blind eye. They say they will not back away from criminality. They'll follow the evidence wherever that may lead. So here's the next thing you've got to ask yourself. You know, this stuff is going on. There's no doubt this is going on. So if it's going on and if the police claim they're not turning a blind eye to it, then how ineffective are they?
They're not doing the job that they should be doing. It is quite clearly that I feel that while it's Falls Road or while it's the Newton Arch Road, if the policemen then are heavy handed, you and I both and everybody else knows precisely what would happen. At the end of the day, they are turning a blind eye, and Anna Lowe is only saying what the vast majority of people in this society is actually believing and knows what is going on the streets. So the police are not doing the job that they're employed to do.
The police are pointing out that in recent weeks and months, we asked the police to come on, by the way, they don't want to do so, usual. Indeed, recent investigations into individuals, they say in their statement, suspected of having links to paramilitaries, led to the seizure of approximately £50,000 in cash, as well as a quantity of drugs, counterfeit goods with an estimated street value of £23,000. We're not talking about counterfeit goods. You know, what message are the police not getting about the question we're asking? We're not talking about you about counterfeit goods here. We're talking, PSNI, about local businesses in different sections of our community being intimidated to the point that they're handing their law-abiding profits over to these gangsters in masks because they will be burnt out otherwise. What is the police hardline approach to it?
Nothing.
Who's going to stand up to them? Who's going to infiltrate them?
They're doing nothing about it, Stephen. That's the truth. They're doing absolutely nothing about it. They're scared to upset the apple cart, and that's reality on the streets.
Dolores Kelly from the SDLP, how big a problem do you think it is?
Well, I believe Anna Lowe, and I believe that people have, in good faith, said to her what's happening in their communities, and I think it's very difficult to not say that there are and is widespread intimidation and extortion and indeed drug dealing in some, in particular within the loyalist communities. And I'd have to say, Stephen, that very often it's the police are operating with one hand tied behind their back.
Yeah, because they need witnesses, they need to catch these people in the act. But that's what surveillance and intelligence is about.
Absolutely, and the SDLP raised with the Chief Constable and a senior team before Christmas, and I did more recently at the Policing Board, in relation to the level of drug dealing and the widespread perception that there was within communities that there was a blind eye being turned. And of course, they emphatically denied that this was happening. But you know, the wider community, and we see it on our television screens almost weekly, where leading DUP politicians and some Ulster unionists share platforms with some of the very people whom local communities are pointing to as the paramilitary leaders and criminals within their own community. And also, I know that
the DUP are very, very open about their objection, their fundamental objection to criminality. So don't go down that route.
Well, Stephen, I suggest you ask some of the leading DUP figures and the courts whether or not character references have been provided for some of the people whom the police have brought before the courts for the very same offences.
I have absolutely no detail about that whatsoever. Presumably this is not just a loyalist problem. Gerry Kelly, presumably, and I don't know, dissidents, are they engaged in protection rackets?
Well, of course they are. And, I mean, let's be very clear about it, and I think Glyn Roberts hit the nail on the head when he said, why are these paramilitary organisations still existing? I mean, we have illegal organisations 20 years after the first ceasefires in 1994 and, you know, 16 years after the Good Friday Agreement are quite, if not openly, sort of quite to everybody's knowledge, are still about, are still formed, are still acting in terms of drugs, in terms of criminality, in terms of intimidation. And indeed, Dolores is right, they stand on platforms and are known by the political representatives of the DUP and the UUP as paramilitaries and as organisations. And that cannot be ignored. In terms of the police, I mean, let's deal with the facts. I mean, and let me say about loyalism, because I think this has to be said as well. There are loyalists who are fighting very hard, who have changed, who are trying to change the circumstances that working class areas are facing, and there are those who are not. But the UVF in particular, as you can see, especially in East Belfast, and all the evidence is there, has been involved in this, and you know, to the extent that even the courts have questions to answer in terms of some of the people they let out in bail when they're up in one charge and then another charge and then another charge. Very serious charges, by the way, not small charges. It is a fact, because you mentioned this yourself about the infiltration of organisations, that there is very substantial infiltration of these organisations done. Now, I fought with the police on the policing board for a considerable period of time, something like 18 months, saying to them that you have people who are agents who are carrying out criminal acts. And I was told again and again, and so was the board, that this was not true. It took 18 months for them to come back and admit, which was very obvious, by the way, from the start. And I said to them, you know, you couldn't tell that to my children, that they have got agents who, and if you think about this very logically, who are involved in these organizations, have to be involved in some way in criminality. Now, in certain ways, that's not an issue. What my point to them was, is how far are you letting them go in terms of the criminality which they are involved in? And I think therein lies this debate between what is a blind eye and what is actually the police who have infiltrated these organizations allowing their own agents to go too far as opposed to take actions to protect them. And I think that is a huge issue.
Well, how would you
start? There are people coming into my office. You may find that's hard to believe. And not just my office, by the way, other Sinn Féin offices. But certainly I've come into my office from the Shankill Road and from parts of North Belfast saying our area is run by paramilitaries and what can you do about it? You
know? How would you stop? What approach do you think the police should be taking? Because it is difficult. They can't get witnesses. Witnesses are terrified of being intimidated, shot, burnt out of their homes, chased out of their area, as you well know. So how would you approach business where the gangsters arrive every week and say, give us the money? What would you do?
Well, what happens in the public areas, which I have more experience in, I have to say, is that if something like that happened, we would organise the community to come out in support of that business or that person. And we've done this many times because there is a great fear factor here and we cannot ignore it. And I think in the end, the decision that is in a community is, do you stand up against that? And in terms of where we are, we would generally take action which would let these people know. And I mean, we don't have to take action. I mean, the communities themselves are a very politicized community. Do not allow those things where they can possibly stop it. You do have examples, of course, which you've seen in the Lower Falls and in other places where small groups of antisocial behaviour and people, you know, euphemistically called joyriders and that, can take over for a period of time. And then what happens is that the community puts pressure on the police, and a combination between police action and community action tries to deal with that. And of course, it's an ongoing cycle. So I'm not saying that in a bland or blank way that the police are turning a blind eye. What I am saying is that there is an acceptable level of crime, and that hard to pinpoint where that level of crime goes is very difficult. I've been trying for a considerable period, the whole full time we've been on the policing board, to try and find out some way of gauging how much do you allow to happen on the basis of trying to infiltrate these organisations. And of course, the organisations...
Well, how much crime do you think the police should tolerate?
Well, I don't think that they should tolerate them going into serious crime. I mean...
But define serious crime.
Well, I can't. And one of the reasons that you can't defend it in such a way is that sometimes serious crime becomes, for instance, what you've seen on the Falls Road in terms of joyriding or death riding. This dangerous act. Now, if it's a single car, which has been an incident once every 6 months, then I couldn't really defend it as serious crime. But if it happens, as we've seen on YouTube and that, then of course it is entered serious crime. And in those circumstances, and I've said this to the police, they need to convince the public that they're not allowing things to happen when they have the information, simply to protect the fact that they have agents.
One second, Dolores. Yeah. Jerry, thank you. David, morning, David.
Good morning.
Go ahead, David.
I'm just surprised to hear Jerry Kelly there, somebody who appeared to be advocating some sort of community vigilantism.
Well, actually,
what you either sign up to is you sign up to policing and justice and you support the policing measures that are in place and also other policing measures that could be put in place, notably the likes of the National Crime Agency, who would put a thrust towards organised criminal gangs, which is what we're now talking about. It is criminality, and it needs to be dealt with through the view of policing and justice, not through trying to organise local communities to come out, which you then might lose control of. I don't think that's the way to go.
Okay, Jerry Kelly?
Well, I mean, first of all, I didn't use the term vigilante. He used the term vigilante. And secondly, of course, he's coming on to argue over the issue of NCA and to try and make a point on that, so let me deal with NCA. If he is saying that the PSNI cannot deal with this problem, then he is running against what the police are telling us on the policing board, because they say they can and they will deal with it. My argument with them is that somewhere along the line, their tactics are wrong in the terms of
that's not what
it seems to be an acceptable level of. Well, you come on to make the point about the NCA with due respect to you. And when I talk about community action, we are talking about PCSPs, we're talking about communities going to the police, we're talking about a combination between police action and the community acting alongside them. And it has been proven, by the way, and you can look at it in Republican areas, that that has worked.
Okay, Margaret. Morning, Margaret. It's not your real name.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Yes, okay. No, just listen in there and just put the point across that it's not just businesses. We had a friend who was doing some construction work down in Belfast and had to pay and have a lot of money to basically so his machinery wouldn't be burnt out. You know, so it's not just businesses. I just want to put that across to people. This happened to other people and dear knows what else.
What were they told?
They were told if you don't pay us whatever, this, I don't want the same amount, a big amount, weekly on a Friday night, that we will basically burn all your machinery. And they had to pay it, and you know, that they paid it, and that was it. Otherwise, they were being burnt out. And you know, it wasn't a threat, they demanded, you know.
And no confidence whatsoever that if you went to the police or your friends went to the police?
No. They were actually threatened, like, police bomb would mean, you know, it wouldn't be good. They were threatened with that, do not go to the police.
And they didn't go to the police,
basically,
no?
Basically, pay or else, basically.
Yeah.
No, they didn't go to the police. That's just wrong. People are afraid to go to the police.
Thomas is in Dungannon. Morning, Thomas.
Stephen, I'd like to ask, how come it's always the loyalists that are at fault here? Once again...
Have you not heard us saying that this is happening on both sides this morning?
You've brought on a Republican terrorist who bombed to say that it's loyalists at fault. It's all happening on the loyalist side. They're attacking the loyalists once again. It's their fault. It's only the UVF doing it. No one else is doing it.
So have you actually not heard us talk this morning about Republican areas? Have you not heard me put the question to Jerry Kelly that the dissidents are at this as well?
Like
what bit of this do you not hear? It is not all based on unionists. Why have you got selective hearing? Why do you do that? If you want to go back and listen back to this recording of this programme, when I said to Jerry Kelly, presumably this is happening in dissident areas as well, and Jerry Kelly says, yes, of course it is. What bit of that do you not get?
Why is it being focused on the UVF and the loyalist formalities?
What do you mean focused?
That was one question was asked. That was the only question was asked.
All right, so now we didn't ignore it. Now we did ask a question.
Unionist only.
It's happening in both areas. But, well, let me ask...
The SLP were on this morning, and they said that it happened predominantly in the unionist area.
Well, let's let Dolores Kelly speak to you. Go on, Dolores.
Well, I think the matter has been raised by the high levels of violence that's currently being experienced by the ordinary people within some of the loyalist areas. And I don't think the SDLP has ever been under any illusion as to the culpability of Republican paramilitaries to destroy not only Northern Ireland but their own areas. And we all know it's a matter of fact that the IRA killed more Catholics than all of the organisations put together. But this has been prompted by the debate around the Geo Italia route and the comments by Anna Lowe. And that's why this debate is happening this morning. And I think there's a failure of political unionism in particular, who seem to be speaking out of both sides of their mouths on more than one occasion, to speak out for the communities that they're supposed to give a leadership to and make representation on behalf
of. Well, the Ulster Unionist Party MLA, Tom Elliott, with us this morning. A failure of unionist leadership, Tom, says Dolores.
Well, I hear that, Stephen, and thanks for getting me on. Quite clearly, I and the Ulster Unionist Party have no difficulty criticising, condemning, racketeering, whatever form that takes.
Do you agree that the police are turning a blind eye to it?
I believe that more could be done. I do not believe that they're turning a blind eye. I think that's pretty a wayward statement, Stephen.
So what's the last operation, Tom? Because you're a pretty senior politician in Northern Ireland. Are you aware of the last big operation that the PSNI have mounted where they've gone in and they've taken some of these gangsters out who are collecting protection money?
Certainly not, but what I was going to go on to
what
say,
that say
was that that you did ask someone earlier, you know, what's the answer to it? And I think there are opportunities for certainly more covert operations, more surveillance. And, you know, there is clearly a lack of confidence from the community to go to the police, and I think that's clear. But look, let's not remember, this is nothing new, Stephen. This has been going on for decades. And Gerry Kelly was on earlier. Look, the organisation that Gerry Kelly belonged to, the IRA...
He does have a mandate. He is an elected politician.
Yes. And I'm not criticising you, Stephen, for having him on. I'm merely saying that that organisation was to the forefront of racketeering, criminality and intimidation. That has been going on for years, so, you know, it's nothing new, but it is timing. Gerry Kelly did say that there is no place for this in today's society. Of course there's not. There's no place in it for that type of activity.
But is there not a place...
30, 40 years ago.
Is there not a place, Tom, for a zero tolerance approach, for the perception to be in this society that there's a zero tolerance approach and that the police are infiltrating these people? And I ask the question again, why are we, the public, not aware of major Absolutely. Operations in which the PSNI have moved in, they've conducted surveillance, or they've infiltrated these people and they're bringing them the book? It's just not happening.
Absolutely, Stephen. I fully agree with that. That doesn't say they're turning a blind eye. Well, that is up to the police to answer that. Now, I have issues around the fuel laundering as well, which is of a very similar nature, and I am on a regular basis speaking to police, trying to speak to customs around this issue and trying to get them to clamp down, have more surveillance. That is what they need to do, Stephen. So I absolutely agree with that, and there needs to be that confidence from the community that they can go to the police and something will actually be done.
They're refusing to clamp down on more surveillance and conduct more surveillance, are they?
Well, I'm not saying that they're refusing to do it. What I'm appealing to them is that they do it. Now, they're not going to tell me or you, Stephen, of all their surveillance operations, but I think what we haven't the confidence in is that they are doing it to the level that we would want, and I would want to see them get in at every stage that's possible, and I believe that is the best way to do it is through surveillance and infiltrate these gangs so that they can actually bring them to book, bring them before the courts, have them convicted, and then once those convictions take place, that will give the community more confidence to go to them and cooperate with
Gerry Kelly is also saying of the police this morning that the police tolerate a certain level of criminality, and what they get back is informants and people who will work with them. Do you think that's the case?
I would certainly hope not, Stephen. There is a perception out there. I will accept that that is the case. I would hope not. We've heard the term before, an acceptable level of violence, an acceptable level of criminality. There should be no acceptable level of criminality or violence in this country, and I would appeal to the police to ensure that that is not acceptable.
Okay, Tom, thank you.